Great to be here. I hope you're happy to be here as well. And we had a great week at camp, and want to come back tonight and hear a little bit about that. As Drake mentioned, we had several become Christians this past week, and two of them are with us here this morning. And so Leah Jarvis from Children's Home. Congratulations. And then as well, Charlotte Little, clear on the other side of them. Here we go. Congratulations. And then there were nine others as well, so there was, we had 11 come to Christ this week, and as was mentioned, continue to pray for them. As we said, we'll be as much of an encouragement to them as we possibly can, but we're also, they're a part of our family now, and so we're looking for them to encourage us too. And so it's a wonderful thing. Come back and we'll share tonight just a small glimpse of what we experienced this past week. So in the meantime, we are continuing our series entitled The Miracles of Jesus. Our Psalm 77:14 says, "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples." And God continues to do amazing things even today. Maybe not in the same fashion and form as what we're looking at with some miracles. But you ever step back and look and consider what God does for us, we're eternally grateful. Albert Barnes says this about our text this morning before we get into it. We're talking about the man that Jesus cleanses that has leprosy. This will be the first miracle that we've looked at that's involved leprosy. What we have to understand about leprosy, it was about the worst possible thing physically that could happen to a person in that day. And so rightfully, so do we compare that then to the terminalness of sin. And we'll look at that as we go through and take a look at this miracle this morning. But what Albert Barnes here says is just a little precursor to that. In our blended text that we'll get ready to read here in a few minutes, it starts in Matthew chapter 8. And so what we have to do is consider what just took place before Matthew chapter 8. I know, the kids will say, Matthew chapter 7. Yes, you're correct. And so what is in Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. This is immediately on his descending from the mountain. His discourse had attracted great attention, and the fame of it drew together great multitudes who were convinced that he had come from God, not because of the signs and the miracles, but because of his teaching and his preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. As we've already said before, probably the greatest sermon ever preached. Then follows in this chapter 8 of Matthew and Mark chapter 1 and Luke 5 that we'll get to, a succession of miracles, not less remarkable than his teaching, but miracles that tended to confirm beyond a doubt the impression made by his sermon that he was sent from God. And that's what we're continuing to look at in the miracles that are done, is proof to who he was, why he was sent here, to prove to the people that he was the Son of God. So we're going to read our blended text here this morning of Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 4, Mark 1, 40 through 45, and Luke 5, 12 through 14. says this: when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy, beseeching him, that means begging him, and falling on his knees before him. And when he saw Jesus, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, there we go, we see it again. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus sternly warned him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. As you look, and as we've continued through this series, we see that there, at the end of each miracle, many times Jesus is like, "Now don't go and say anything." You know, now here he has to tell him to go see the priests, because that's in accordance to the law. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but came to fulfill the law. And yet, as we see so many times, and we know, when you tell somebody not to do something and they're so excited, they're going to go and do the opposite. And it's almost like, "No, don't go tell anybody." And immediately they all run off and they're like, "Oh, you got to see this. You got to see this. Come here. You got to see this guy." And then we've seen that happen several times here. But as we continue to focus on the miracle side of things, we see that the result many times is the same. That people are just astonished, they're amazed, and they want to go tell everybody about it. Now he has just come off the mountain. The people are astonished, and they're amazed. And it's not because he healed anybody while they were on the mountain. It wasn't because he performed any miracle while he was on the mountain. It was at his teaching. I had heard it said before about the Sermon on the Mount that every facet of life is touched in that sermon in one area or another. Any place that we struggle with, anything that we come in contact with, there is information there on how to handle it. But as he comes then into a city, a man falls down on his knees before him. And this man is covered in leprosy. And that leads us to our first point here this morning that we want to discuss as we look here at the miracles of Jesus, is man's great disease. Man's great disease. And as we said here, this is perhaps the greatest disease of the day. No disease with which the human family has been afflicted has been more dreadful than that which is often mentioned in the Bible as leprosy. And oh, how leprosy is such a great illustration to us today for sin. Leviticus chapter 13, if you want to go back and read there in the Old Testament, in the writings of Moses, it tells of the disease of leprosy. And how it starts, and how it continues to work, and how it continues to destroy, and how it ultimately is claiming the life of, if not caught early enough, the individual. While as we then can make a comparison to that of Genesis chapter 3, that tells of the sin of man, it's not just a disease of leprosy that someone can contract, but it tells of the sin of man and how it will destroy us eternally. Both of them start out as small. It says that the disease of leprosy will start out just about the size of a pinhead. And it'll start out in a little red, irritated form. And then it starts to grow and turns white and black. And then starts to look a lot like maybe a ringworm type thing, and just continues to grow. And sin is the same way. It can start out so very small. Well, you know, I never intended for this to happen. Right? We get involved in something, or we think I'm strong enough to be able to take this, and it just starts off as just a little infection. And the next thing you know, we're engulfed. And just like that of leprosy, sin continues to seep. It continues to spread. And one of the great words that they used in the commentary I was reading, and says it begins to pustule until it claims the entire person. That's talking about leprosy, but yet sin is much the same way. And sin will ultimately claim our life and our soul if left unattended. And what I want for us to understand today, that as leprosy was, I don't want to say an overly common thing, but unfortunately it wasn't uncommon. It was something that did happen. They had places of refuge set up for them. Your skin would start to deteriorate, and you know, you would perhaps, they had places of called leper colonies, that they would all go and live together, and food would be delivered and try to take care of them. And this is when it's actually gone to almost a foregone conclusion that your life was going to be lost. Even saying, some writers, that it was a hereditary disease, that it was something that could be carried out to the third and to the fourth generation of children. That could get this through just hereditary connections. Perhaps you decide you're tired and you're going to take a nap, and you go and lay down for the afternoon against the wall in the city, and you're maybe in the shadows taking a nap, and while you're sleeping, a rat comes up into the city and chews your fingers off, and because of the way the disease works, you don't feel a thing. I can't help but think that maybe that's how we get with sin. Now, we all here know we have not contracted leprosy. But everyone that's here that is of age has contracted sin. And I'll tell you this morning, Jesus wants to heal both. And Jesus can heal both. Jesus wants to take care of that. And that's what we see in this text. And we're gonna look at that here in just a moment. What happens when the man comes face to face with Jesus? He does what we will do one day, and he bows before King Jesus. The leper bowed before him, we see. It says that he drops to his knees to show him respect. I don't know if you realize this or not, but people have been doing this to Jesus since his birth. Go all the way back to Matthew chapter 2, where if we remember the Magi coming to him, where here in this question, even King Herod is inquiring about where this Jesus is so that I may worship him. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Understand here this morning, we may not any of us have leprosy, but we all have sin. Every knee will bow before them, whether prince or pauper, whether slave or son, whether Democrat or Republican, from rich to poor, from the educated to the ignorant, from the hurting to the healthy, everyone will bend the knee at the name of Jesus. Everyone will bow. Philippians 2:10 says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. This gentleman here understood something that I think all of us get, I hope. But much of the out world that refuses Christ don't understand. How much more honorable, how much more better, to use the phrase out of Hebrews, how much more better things are when we do it on our own free will rather than when we will be forced to one day. That he comes before King Jesus and he bows down to him. It's so much like in the book of Esther when Esther meets with the king. Her life could have been required at that moment. But when we come to the Lord with a humble and contrite heart, as we discussed last week, the Lord is apt to listen. The king wants to know our plea. And that leads us to the third thing that we want to look at here this morning, and that is the plea. This man's plea is ultimately the same plea that we all have. It may be a physical one. It may be a spiritual one. It may be a mental one. It may be an emotional one. But we all say the same thing. Heal me. Make it better. Ultimately, make it go away. Right? Have we all been there? Have we all had something like that? Get it away from me. Take it away. Heal me. I am hurting in some form, fashion, nature. I am hurting. The leprosy was regarded as being unclean. We've all seen the movies, right? Remember the phrases? As they march through the city and the lepers will be there and somebody will be going ahead of them, unclean, 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 right? The people of the day knew this as an unclean and disgusting disease, right? I've seen some of you kind of look away and ooh, when we talked about the rats chewing your fingers off, right? You go to wave to your neighbor, and you're like, hey. You don't even realize that it's happened. That things have changed. That things have went from bad to worse, and it's only going to continue to deteriorate. And so the plea of this man, as he drops, first of all, to pay homage, to give honor, to pay his respects to King Jesus, knowing ultimately that he is there to be healed, but wanting to express his lowly state to the exalted state of the Son of God, which, as we have said, that's what these people come to understand because of the teaching that took place on the Sermon on the Mount. And there are several great questions at different times that take place with some of the miracles that Jesus does. This is one of them where Jesus is asked the question. There are some times where Jesus asks the question. There's a point where Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" Because there are some people that are happy and joyful to be stuck in their miserable state. That's a sermon for another time. This one, the leper looks at him, wants to be cleansed, wants to be healed, knowing that his time is possibly near, that his life is over. "Lord, if you are willing," he's saying, "Master." He's saying, "Great God Almighty, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This here is an exhibition of this man's great faith. We see that many times with the miracles here. Remember, as we discussed, the gentleman says, "You don't even have to go. You just say it and it'll happen." Others will be like, "Here, touch this person." Others will be, "If you say the word, it will." And he just says, "If you are willing." Now I'm here to ask you this morning, do you think that Jesus was willing to heal this man of his leprosy? Amen? I'll ask you one more question then this morning. Do you think that Jesus is willing and desires to heal you of your sin? So which is greater? This is the question that Jesus asks all the time. Which is greater, to have a physical ailment taken care of, or for me to say that your sins are forgiven? Which is easier to do? Which means more to you? Right? Can you make it to heaven as a leper? Yes. Can you make it to heaven full of cancer? Can you make it to heaven with heart disease? Can you make it to heaven with AIDS? Yeah. Can you make it to heaven with all your sin intact? No. The sin needs to be cleansed. It needs to be washed away. It needs to be remitted. As we said, this was an exhibition of great faith, and it was an acknowledgement of his dependence on what? I didn't think about this until reading. This was an acknowledgement of his dependence on the will of Jesus. Because how many times do we say prayers, right? And then we say, "Nevertheless, not my will," just as Jesus did, "not my will be done, but yours." This is one of those things, though, that Jesus kind of gives us the answer ahead of time before we ask the question. If we say, "We want to come to you in faith and obedience," Jesus doesn't turn us away. Jesus is moved with compassion, and he stretches out his arms, and he brings us in for the healing that we need. The attitude and what we must have when we come to this point, and we had 11 individuals that came to this point this week, was they had to realize in themselves, just as Isaiah did. If you can back us up just one moment there, Doug. To what Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined." And he goes on to talk about his unclean lips and his life and how only God can change it. Church, aren't we thankful that as the in the time that we come to that realization, what that there is what we call repentance. Woe is me! In other words, the worst is about to happen to me because I am ruined. I am no good. I am worthless. I am lost. To start off the Sermon on the Mount, this is what is said, how Jesus puts a positive tweak on it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For those of us that recognized our spiritual bankruptcy, and that is everyone here that has come to Jesus in faith and obedience and was immersed into him for the forgiveness of their sins and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've all been there. We're all in that point. And that's what takes place in this plea. This plea for salvation. This plea for healing. This man made this plea because he was unclean and there was nothing he could do to hide it from the world. And the thing we try to discuss with those that are outside of Jesus Christ is we understand where you are, but we want you to be where we are now. We don't want to go back to where we've been, do we? We don't want to be there. We don't want to be unclean. And at this time, this man feels that he has no claim on Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've been obedient to Jesus, you can make the claim, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. This guy couldn't do it. He called him Lord, he called him Master, but at this time, so far, he wasn't his Savior. We've got it the other way around today. People are all running and want to make Jesus their Savior and not call him their Lord. But the man had the plea right. But then Jesus gives his plea. As the leper is laying at his feet, Jesus says, I am willing, be cleansed. In essence, that's the same thing that Jesus is uttering when we share in his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is saying, I am willing, be cleansed. One poet said, I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I shall forever die. In other words, we can make a plea for something and we may not get it. Nothing's going to change. But we can make a plea and the answer can change everything. And when Jesus said, I am willing, be cleansed, it changed everything in this man's life. Happily, no one ever came to Jesus having this feeling who has not received grace and pardon. Jesus is always willing to heal the hurting, and Jesus is always willing to save the lost. Which then leads us to the last thing we want to discuss here this morning. Is the immediate cleansing that takes place. He didn't go away and Jesus put a note in his pocket and said, check back in 30 days. Didn't say next month, didn't say next week. He didn't even say tomorrow. But instantaneously, the cleansing came. A man that was more or less on his physical deathbed is now made pure and clean. Immediately. Which reminds me of a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. That's always a good thing to preach, isn't it? Matter of fact, it's the only thing we should preach. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you willing to make me clean? The leper asked. Jesus said, I am. The eunuch said, I want to be made clean. He said, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? I do. That he is the Son of God. Matter of fact, him preaching Jesus unto him, that's what the eunuch said. That I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And they ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Aaliyah, was there a little rejoicing when you came up out of that water the other day? Right? Charlotte, was there a little rejoicing when you come up out of that water the other day? If not internally on your own, everyone else standing around sure was excited. And it didn't stop there. Being obedient to Jesus has always had the same effect on people all throughout history. From the beginning of the church, they were rejoicing. To those that became Christians this past week, we are rejoicing because of the immediate cleansing that takes place. They cannot help but go on their way rejoicing. And even when Jesus says, tell no one else, they still go on their way telling everybody about Jesus and what he has done for them and about his great love and his amazing healing. So I ask you here this morning, have you done the same? And for the most part, in this body of believers here this morning, yes, we all can say yes. But there are some that haven't. So have you done the same? Will you do the same? Will you go on your way rejoicing? Will you go on your way letting the world know about Jesus? They went out to where he couldn't even go into the cities, that he had to go to the unpopulated places just to be able to get around to move. We have that opportunity today. It may be a family member. It may be someone in your office complex. It may be somebody on your assembly line. It may be somebody out on the workforce, wherever you may be. But I encourage you here this morning to do what everyone in the Scriptures have ever done when they were obedient to Jesus, and that's go tell others about Jesus. There's a plan of salvation in the Scriptures that tell us that we need to believe, that it starts with our belief. That's why he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what Jesus come to prove. That's what the Sermon on the Mount was. It said at the end there, remember our commentator at the beginning said that as he preached, they came to understand that he was sent from God. Believe in Christ, then you believe in who God is. Repent of your sin. Are we willing to repent of our sin? We ask Jesus to do something, he's going to ask us to do something. Are we willing to repent, to change, to turn away? Are we willing to let the world know about him? Are we willing to make the confession of him? Are we willing to be immersed into Jesus Christ? Are we willing to do what he asks us to do? Are we willing to be faithful? Are we willing to keep on keeping on? Even when life gets rough, even when life gets tough, even when life gets unbearable, it's still nothing compared to what Jesus had went through for us. We're going to ask that you all stand. We get ready to sing our song of invitation. And if you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let today be your day of salvation. Come to him now before it's eternally too late. Come to him in faith, in obedience. Ask him if he's willing that you be saved. I guarantee you his answer is going to be yes. Yes. Come and do it at this very time.